Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSLU. This is Experience Points. I'm MG.
And I'm Red Bear.
We're back. You know, it seems like 2 weeks for everyone that's not us and not people that looked on the show on the website.
We tried.
Difficulties, man. We had computers.
That's all that matters.
At some point, we talked poorly about a computer, and it told its friends via the internet. And
I think I made a dial-up joke.
We made a dial-up joke, and the grandfather computer radioed in. Anyway, if you don't know what we're talking about, crazy people on the radio. Last week, we recorded our show. We put it, and we were ready to play it. And then for some reason, if it did air, it aired 2 hours later than it should.
So for all the hardcore fans out there who stayed on and noticed our show 2 hours later, possibly.
You sat through Sold Out, which is a fantastic show by Matt Doyle, and I can't remember the other person that does it now, but fantastic show. 2 hours later, though, if our show aired, I think it aired right in the middle of like the metal show, like the metal awesome whatever. So people that were there to do the metal show may have heard our show. So maybe we expanded or contracted our audience. I don't know.
Maybe. Who knows? It's definitely not us trying to viral market this.
No. It's not
cutting in the middle of a metal show.
We're not that clever. But if you wanted to hear last week's show, we can't put the music in the middle, but it is online. We have a website. Bear, what's the website?
We do. It's exppoints.com. Always double tap that P.
We have a lot of social media outlets. Twitter, the Facebook, the YouTubes, the Google Pluses, and all that other stuff.
Just go to /social and you'll find it.
If you go to EXP Points, don't cut into my time.
I'm
going to
cut into your time.
Thing.
You always run the section too
okay,
long.
Fine.
Let's go.
EXPPoints.com/social.
I'll box you.
Oh. We also have Patreon and PayPal. And,
give us money.
And you can give us money to do stupid things like poetry. And
I really also
poetry's not stupid, admittedly, but I mean when we do it, we could take pictures of us holding, we get selfies with little sticky notes with your name. And I think one is we make pies or make cakes or something. It's really ridiculous. I'll have to look. We also have iTunes and Stitcher. In addition to being streamed online, we're streaming on iTunes and Stitcher. So please check us out, the Experience Points radio show on iTunes and Stitcher. We're going to cut to a song, and we're going to come back, and we're going to talk about what we did last week.
We will.
This is Jimmy and Sally by I-Fi Dragons off of the Near Future album. It came out in the recent past. The Near Future came out in the
no
recent past.
No longer the Near Future, it's the recent past.
And certainly,
Back to the Future.
Right. You've been listening to Experience Points on Southeastern Zone.
90.9 FM KSLU.
Welcome back to Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSLU. Still Experience Points. I'm still MG.
Always Red Bear.
That was Jimmy and Sally by I-Fi Dragons. The new release off of the Near Future came out in the recent past. I'm
going to
bury that joke. I'm killing this horse.
Just hit 88 miles an hour and get it over with.
We're going to talk about what we did last week.
We are.
Bear, in keeping with tradition, what did you do last week?
I did not play any video games. I know, weird.
Boring.
I know. I have an excuse.
What did you do?
I found Parks and Recreation.
Oh, okay.
And
I found. What?
Yeah, I have two words for anyone who has not watched Parks and Rec. Ron Swanson. That is all you need to know about that show.
Parks and Rec is one of those, it's like antithesis type comedies.
Yeah.
Like
The Office or something?
It's the perfect idea of a British comedy, but American. So,
Ron
I mean, The
Swanson.
Office. And I don't think Parks and Rec wasn't originally a British comedy. Office
I don't
was.
Think so. Office was originally British. And that one, actually, I like the American version of that
was
one.
Was that Ricky
too.
Gervais in the, in
you're
the
gonna make
British
me a liar.
Version? Yeah. Well, that's cool. So how much have you caught up with Doctor Who, and then you watched
Parks and
Rec? I
caught up with
Doctor
Who, and I started diving into Parks
and
Rec. Thank you, Netflix.
Someone has a Netflix account,
No, I think I'm on like season three of that. I'm on a bit of a bender.
I've been hit or miss because Netflix. I've been Netflix.
Because you
originals.
Don't have internet where you live.
Netflix originals, right? We're talking about like House of Cards.
Yeah.
And then
Ooh,
like,
is that new one out yet?
Not yet. I think it comes out in like February or March. But then you get House of Cards, and then you get like Orange Is the New Black. And if you think one is like the other, and you go in with that mentality, you are wrong. You have made mistakes, and fundamentally so.
There can only be one Congressman Underwood.
That's right. Though I've heard, I'm still on season one. Like, I'm waiting.
Oh, what?
I'm waiting.
No. Stop what you're doing. Leave the show.
Okay.
Go watch season
good
two.
Good night, everybody.
I'll finish this. We got this. We're going to listen to a couple songs.
What else did you do this week? Is that all you've
pretty
done?
Pretty much all I did. I mean, I went out and maybe had a couple of drinks. Maybe don't remember a few things. It's probably okay.
All right.
It's all good.
That's like most nights. Like, I'm generally
it's
a
most
forgetful
nights,
person.
Yeah.
Well, sweet. In that case, I guess I'll pick
so
it up.
So what have you done with your life this past week, Mr.
Well,
I Do Things?
I have slow internet. We've confirmed this several times.
You probably
times.
Sat around waiting on your internet.
I did. I wanted to play the cinematic. I'm playing through Half-Life 2. And, awesome choice. And after over 10 years of...
shut up. It has not been 10 years.
2004, I think.
You're a liar. And the truth is not in you.
Okay, well, maybe 10 years.
Wow, that's crazy.
Of Half-Life 2 being out. You know, it still holds up as a really awesome game. You know, a fantastic first-person shooter. You can definitely appreciate the physics engines. The textures kill it a little bit. But okay. The graphics themselves, like the people, again, episode 1 and episode 2 help kind of build the engine up. So yeah. It's not really a 10-year-old game. It's where they stopped doing it in 2009 or 2010 maybe. Is that when they did it?
I believe like
that's
so, the, yeah.
That's when episode 2 was released.
Yeah, I think so.
And they routinely update source.
Use your internet and your fast connections. You can find that out.
I'm not at my house.
no, not
so,
at
like,
all.
So you have the Source SDK, and they keep routinely like coming out with that. I think they had a 2013 re-release of the Source SDK that got patched into the entire Orange Box. So, so everything, Team Fortress 2, Counter-Strike Source and all that got the new version of the physics engine, which is great. It makes use of all those excellent things that graphics cards and CPUs do.
Physics
and PhysX. Which is actually
thanks
a real
Nvidia.
Thing. But I'm playing through it, and I did. I yearned for more graphical fidelity.
Yeah, well, I was asking about that because I remember waiting on it to come out, the graphics and seeing the screenshots like was blowing
it was
my
real
mind
life.
Away.
Yes, it was real life. I was,
and then I played it, and I was that blown away.
Yet again, 27-year-old.
On my NVIDIA FX 5200.
5200 yes. FX, yeah.
Yep, that was it. I had 128 megs of RAM on it.
And you didn't need any more. It was enough. It was enough. It was more than enough. You'd never.
I think I have like 4 gigs of RAM on my card now.
Yes, and you cache it to the, you cache it to your SSD whenever you need it. I started playing Half-Life 2 again, and I got, I think, all the way to Anti-Citizen 1, the chapter Anti-Citizen 1, and which is a little bit more than halfway through the game, I guess, or maybe it's a little over halfway through the game. You're waiting to meet up with Alex and do stuff. Anyway, at some
I'm
point...
I'm always waiting to meet up with Alex and do stuff.
Except in that one episode where she's by your side the entire time.
Freaking time.
So
I did like how she called you out on a man a few words, though.
Yeah.
That was fun.
Yeah, at the very start. So I know in several versions of several games that I play, there's always this HD remake or HD pack that kind of goes in. Well, apparently for Half-Life 2, there's the cinematic mod.
Is that an official mod?
No. It's something the company that makes it is called Fake Factory. Fake Factory.
I love that name.
Fake Factory makes a cinematic mod. And to some extent, it's a mod that does detract away from, if you load like the extra models and everything, it does detract away from the general story of Half-Life 2 because it over-sexualizes pretty much everything in the game. I mean, the models are over-sexualized. The women are skimpy.
Are you saying that bored nerds locked away in a cave for a while made something overly sexual?
I may have said that.
Wow.
Paraphrasing what I said, yes. That's the meat.
Accurate. I'll be honest. That's probably actually completely accurate.
In fact, it's got so much to the launcher has like a rating system of like, what do you want your game to be? But you can choose. I want to keep the original.
How much sexy do you want in this game?
Well, yeah, no, that's exactly how it is. You know, you can have a rated PG-13 or a rated R Alex or whatever. And for me, you know, Alex stayed the same.
Wow.
Though it was weird. There was some glitch. I have a screenshot I'll post on the site where it didn't load her facial texture or her facial geometry. So it's just this
you were
white.
Looking at her face.
It was this. Well, it's the same model. And that's a very tame model, but it's just a white, like, android-like model with purple, like, magenta eyes and hair just popping out from this, like, orb. It's really kind of unnerving.
I have to see that screenshot.
But you know what? I played for, I think, 2 hours with that model, and I became very acquainted.
You just played through the model. You became acquainted.
I became
you
acquainted.
You'd probably miss it if
you
got
like
rid of it.
It was like the girl, the sex robot from Automata with the guy that played Zorro. I can't remember his name. You know, the Hispanic guy.
Wow, good job,
Antonio
Matt.
Banderas.
The Hispanic
Antonio
guy
Banderas.
That played Zorro.
Yeah, you know, the guy with the accent.
Wow.
The accent. He also played in the Mexican trilogy. Anyway, so I've been playing through that. I waited.
You know
I think
that,
it was
right?
like a 50 gig download. I literally waited like 2.5 days to get this download. And I think
I would
like,
wait about 2.5 minutes.
That was yeah,
with
I know.
My internet.
I understand.
I have fiber.
So I download this thing, Fake Factory Cinematic Mod 2013. It's got Steam Pipe, so everything you download it once and it goes for episodes 0, 1, and 2.
Yeah.
And I plan on playing with it completely. Throughout the entire thing, I did replace the citizens. I did replace like Dr. Kleiner and Barney and Breen and I think I replaced who's the female scientist, Dr. Mossman. I replaced Mossman, Dr. Mossman,
yeah.
But I left Alex the same because all of the Alex models were just so ridiculous. They were just they were
I couldn't
so,
imagine why
they were so super ridiculous. But
I'm having really hard time understanding what you're talking.
I played a little bit of Dragon Age Inquisition also,
why?
And that was Well, the Inquisition, that's the new one.
Yeah.
It's not bad.
It's not bad? I've actually always liked Dragon Age's stories. I really have. It's
really?
Just the gameplay has always killed me.
So I'm trying to replay Origin before I play too much of Inquisition because I think that there's some connection. Like, and I'm being proved right, sort of. But when you play an older version of a series and you've already know what you're going to like play in the future of the series, you see nothing but the cracks. Like, there's no jump in Origin Awakening. There's no spoken dialogue by your character, which is awkward because it didn't BioWare make this. Isn't their thing? Nothing but
fair.
Spoken dialogue.
That's fair.
So anyway, I've been playing a couple of those games. I tried playing Elite Dangerous. Love hate relationship recently with that game.
We just established we think it's something with your hardware.
Yeah, it's got to be a hardware incompatibility or something. So
better hardware.
I'll buy a new house, buy a new computer.
Do that.
You know, get new internet
just so you can play Elite Dangerous
or download a better game quickly.
Wow.
Yeah, I said it.
Dang.
We're gonna cut to
it's out there.
We're gonna talk to some music real quick, and then we're gonna come back and we're gonna talk about Retro Stage with, ironically, is are we talking about Half-Life? Do we decide?
Let's
what we're
do
talking? We're gonna do Half-Life.
Why not?
For our Retro
it
Stage.
It seems like you're on a Half-Life.
Do Half-Life.
Let's talk about Alex. This is an entire section on Alex.
Alex Vance, everyone. This is Lake Pontchartrain by Ludo. I'm MG,
and I'm Red Bear.
You've been listening to Experience Points on Southeastern Zone
90.9 FM KSLU.
Welcome back to Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSLU. I'm MG.
And I'm Red Bear.
This is Experience Points, and we're two nerds.
We are nerds.
We just dropped Ludo with Lake Pontchartrain.
And you loved it.
Are you talking to me or them?
I'm talking to them.
Oh,
Radio
yeah.
Land,
no, you
man.
Loved it. Yeah.
You
no,
loved
absolutely.
It. No, you love it.
This is
they loved it, too.
Okay. Mm-hmm. This is our retro stage. This is where we talk about things from the past.
That's what retro
it
is,
it used to
guys.
Be, again, in previous seasons, I think we're on season 7 now, in 5 and 6 and 5.5 and 6.5 and all that business, we talked about things like retro games. And we went through quite a few retro games. Now we talk about pretty much anything we want that just has to happen before today. So anything in our past that we want to talk about. Let's talk about
retro as of last week.
I already
you
started.
Remember we had that Monday that time?
Yeah, last Monday.
Yeah, that Monday.
It was cold, 40. So let's talk about Half-Life. I talked about it a little bit.
Unless you seem like you're on that whole Half-Life thing, so we can do Half-Life.
So
what do you want to talk about?
We had a Half-Life show a while back.
We did, because we kind of love Half-Life.
Dude, Half-Life's such a good series.
By the way, play Half-Life.
It's
worth half your life.
Wow, that was deep.
That was deep.
I guess it depends
deep
on how
there.
Long you're going to live, but
ooh, yeah. Could be depressing.
I know, right?
But if that's half my life, then I'm going to live a very long time.
You're
so
still
pretty
playing
good.
It. You're still playing it. We're not even at the halfway
we're not
point.
Done yet.
This is great. Let's just assume you didn't play it before you were like, say, 4 or 5, and I've been playing it, what,
ever
20,
since.
23 years
so,
past that. We're good.
Wow.
You'll at
so
least
you
want
to live to 46.
If you stop playing it right now, 46 is fine. But if you like keep playing it, you prolong it. That's the secret to everlasting life. Half-Life 3 confirmed.
That's why Gabe never released Half-Life 3.
And that's why he hasn't died yet, despite his size.
Oh, is it worth the wait?
I think
it was.
You know what? Maybe his generosity.
That's a fat joke.
Oh.
I'm glad you missed it.
So Half-Life is the story of Gordon Freeman and others and company. Gordon Freeman and company, but
and
primarily.
Generic scientist models.
No. In the first one that you saw, Dr. Eli Vance and Dr. Kleiner.
Yes.
And then you saw Barney. And those were all important people. And depending on.
Well, the way you said that, they made them important people come Half-Life 2.
You know what? I think there were also other people that were really important. There was the two other side, the orange and yellow scientists. The orange and yellow HEV scientists that you played on the Dreamcast and PlayStation 2 version in Decay.
Yeah.
And then there was also, I think.
Although that being said, I love the tie-in with Half-Life without
spoiling
it.
I think it worked. I think it worked really well.
No,
really
we
could
cool.
spoil it. This
we
is, look,
spoil
the game it? The game was out
we
in 1998.
We could spoil retros.
Yeah.
Okay, fine.
So real quick, let's like
so
crash
in Decay, course. It's a two-player kind of Half-Life thing. You play two other scientists.
It's like Half-Life 1.2.
Yeah.
Because like it's not quite half of Half-Life.
But it occurs, the events occur before Half-Life.
Well, no, while you're doing because the two, Dr. Moss and Dr. Rebecca or something, I can't remember the other scientist's name, you play, it's a co-op game. You can play both of them because you can switch off between each character, but it's really good to have split screen player, two player. You play these scientists that actually deliver the Zen fragment to Gordon Freeman in the chamber, in the test chamber.
Right.
You are there the entire time. Sometimes you even see Gordon being drug away. That happened during events of Half-Life.
Which, in the whole Half-Life series, that's a great thing about it.
It's a huge
like
tie-in.
How you see all the other characters doing their thing.
Like you see Barney knocking on the door, and then later
and then
you
play
see,
Blue Shift, and you're at the door.
You can turn around and you can see Gordon in the train.
Yeah, it's great. I love that.
It's something that games, I guess games still do it, but it's a level of atmospheric kind of intrigue.
Well, honestly,
since
the original Half-Life series, I don't really think a game's done it that well or that in depth.
Oh, no, it was really good with its immersion. And I feel that's one of the big nostalgia points for us because I guess we played it when we were rather young and we got into the probably the best one of the best video game series in a storytelling without the main character doesn't talk at all.
Yeah. I don't think Gordon has any dialogue at any point ever.
Nope.
And he tells the best story.
It's really, really awesome. He, you know, a great cast of characters kind of surround him and help tell the story. The events are so cinematic and immersive. Again, we keep saying immersion and atmosphere.
I'm still waiting on Half-Life 2 Blue Shift.
These are...
I want to know what Barney was doing that whole time.
He was worrying about... He was having nightmares about that cat. That's the joke that everyone... Yeah.
He was just in the corner rocking back and forth.
I just got past that part where it's like, Barney's up on top of that warehouse. You need to go help him. Sniper's got him pinned down. You go and help him at the cost of all of your helpers.
Yeah.
Because they don't know how to dodge sniper fire. But apparently somehow you can take a hit and keep on, you know, kicking.
You got the ATV suit, son.
You throw all of the grenades, which grenades kill snipers.
By the way, we shifted over to Half-Life 2. Sorry,
guys. Sorry. But then at some point early in Half-Life 2, he's like, I still have nightmares about that cat when you're going into an experimental teleport. And then later on in the game, like hours left into the game, he's like, did you hear a cat? Oh, I still have nightmares about it. So it's this nice little comedic tie-in that, you know, that's one of the things you remember. That's one of the little stories, you know, you talk about and
you pick up on.
It's one of those little sound bites that you could have missed.
So you mentioned that you don't see Barney very much throughout the whole game, except when you see him, you realize like he's been rescuing people and apparently worrying about a cat.
He's been part of the resistance.
Just that, like, the little touches of dialogue you have with him
tell
such a immersive story.
Now, something...
I can't think of other words
That I didn't catch on to early in playing these series of games, that replaying these games is fantastic because you always experience new and great things about it. The events of Half-Life 1 and Half-Life 2, there's 20 years of time between the end of Half-Life 1 and the beginning of Half-Life 2.
Correct.
20 years. Gordon Freeman exits Half-Life 1 being...
Stepping off into the void,
or dying miserably. Let's go ahead for the sake of canon, saying you step off into the void. You take the G-Man up on his offer. You go into some stasis. The world keeps spinning. The lives keep going.
And then 20 years later,
rise and shine, Mr. Freeman.
Yeah. I was going with Foreman. George Foreman is now.
That's a mod.
Get on it.
Get on a fake factory. So 20 years have virtually aged everyone else, except Gordon Freeman. He's been in stasis, so he is still 27, 28-year-old
MIT graduate. How old do you have to be to graduate MIT?
I imagine 27 probably is a good age for that. It's a good age to – you don't want to waste all your college time, you know, MIT. Putting fire trucks on top of buildings and stuff.
And painting the dome like R2-D2.
No, I really enjoy the Half-Life series. I can't really feel... I don't feel that there's anything bad about it. And of course there's something bad about it. There has to be. There's no perfect game out there. But
I agree with you. I think we're too close and into it and personal with it that we can't see its flaws.
We've got a very Stockholm Syndrome type of relationship.
There's nothing wrong with Valve and their games. If you say there is, you're wrong.
This is a Valve game. It is not a Gearbox game. Gearbox did Blue Shift, and they did Op 4.
Right. Which were mods of the original game.
Like,
it's still great.
But let's put it this way. Gearbox also did, like, Borderlands.
Yeah.
And they did Duke Nukem Forever.
And
so
promptly forgot that they did Duke
so,
Nukem Forever.
So it's Valve. Anything Valve touches is effectively gold. Portal, Team Fortress, Steam.
Portal was even a side project. You realize that, right?
Portal was a graduate project from a bunch of undergrads in some college class.
CS major, step up your game, Valve
essentially said, "Yo, can we like buy you?" And they said, "You don't have enough. You have enough money. Wow, right?
You don't. Whoa, that's money. I like money. Let's sell out, guys."
So yeah, I guess it's just this. You know, if we're going to nostalgia about anything real hard, it's going to be about Half-Life. In effect,
I feel nostalgic right now.
The storyline, the fact that we can quote lines, they're ready for you, Gordon.
In the test chamber.
Or, Gordon doesn't need to hear about that. It's within acceptable parameters.
Yes. The sample will be delivered to you shortly.
Start the rotor.
I misquoted that one.
Oh, man. It's such a good...
Actually, I'm going to say that's probably my favorite scene from that entire game is when you're standing in the test chamber.
The first 10 minutes of the game?
Yeah. Actually, the train ride was a great intro to the game.
Yeah.
And then once you get to the test chamber and you're in there doing all this stuff, and it's a lot of very epic events that you're about to set into motion.
Yep.
And your character is the one doing it. And, you know, they're just giving you these directions and giant rotors are spinning and then lasers are happening and everything's going wrong and there's nothing you could do about it. I love that.
It's
like hopeless situations. I'm weird.
Anyway, that's about all I have to say about Retro Stage. About Half-Life 1, 2.
I mean, I'm playing it.
Episode 0 is Half-Life 2, Episode 1, Episode 2. And again, we make. You know what? I think it's the only joke that we've routinely just made over and over and over again. Other than we know what we're talking about. Yeah, well, Half-Life 3.
Guys, wait. MG is on mic 3.
Half-Life 3 confirmed.
Confirmed.
So, I mean, that's sort of the joke. We've been waiting for probably over a decade now for Half-Life 3 to be announced. And they're like,
announced. It's all right, mentioned.
Guys, we'll give you Half-Life Episode 1. And we're like, all right, yeah, we'll take it. We're not happy, but I mean, we're content. We'll take it. And then,
after Half-Life 2, they had announced Aftermath. And then that just never happened.
Yeah,
and they switched over to the episodes.
There were the episodic content. There was Lost Coast, which was supposed to be something, and that was just a tech demo of their new engines.
Yeah,
and
I was actually really let down by Lost Coast.
Because
they tricked me.
It was nice to see
I
what
enjoyed
it could bring.
But like, I thought it was going to be a new game.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm sure, and I would have enjoyed it.
I was completely confused.
But then they went to episodic content, and you know what? It's like they can't go to 3. They won't make it. And that's, of course, there's jokes. There's little memes like Valve can't count to 3. Valve time is exponential. You know, they say, oh, it'll take five years. And then if you look at 5, it's actually more like 50. There's like some weird multiplier on it. And so far, you know what? They've been correct.
They haven't mentioned Half-Life 3 yet. So
no.
Who knows when this will ever happen?
But
I want it to.
But they are working on things. They're doing excellent things. Valve as a company doing fantastic things with Steam, the distribution platform. Big picture, Steam boxes, which have sort of been very silent lately, and they haven't really done much with Steam OS, but that's okay.
We trust they're doing their best.
That's a larger segment, so we're going to go ahead and wrap this up.
We should probably wrap this up.
But anyway, Half-Life, Retro Stage, go ahead and do that. We're going to play My OCD by Rhett and Link. I'm MG.
I'm Red Bear.
This has been Experience Points. See you after the break.
Wow, you threw me off.
Sorry.
Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM, KSLU. That picture frame.
Welcome back to Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM, KSLU. This is Experience Points. I'm MG.
I'm sorry you've thrown off the Emperor's groove, and I'm Red Bear.
He's Red Bear. That was My OCD by Rhett and Link. I thought the intro to that song started differently, so it was going to be funny.
It's going to be funny to throw me off.
It was funny to throw you off.
I see how you are.
It wasn't, though, so I apologize.
Get wrecked.
The main section of this show is going to be, we're going to talk about HD remakes. We did a show
not
previously.
Remixes, guys. We've had very serious backstage discussions about the difference.
Right, and we'll link the old show in the description for this one.
MG feels very strongly about remakes versus remixes.
So I think like remakes. You did say that. I'm sorry.
I did say it. God, pay attention.
Anyway, so you look at a remix, which is typically a... update remake of the game, HD remake, and then it's a compilation, so a collection. So Kingdom Hearts HD Remix 1.5 was Kingdom Hearts 1 for the PS3, originally from PS2, updated for PS3, as well as 365 Days and a Birth Without Sleep or Birth with Sleep or something.
Yeah, that's actually one of the series I've never played.
Kingdom Hearts? Oh, it's a fantastic series. Really, really good.
I don't know. I always felt weird about like the Disney and...
Just get over yourself. Okay. It'll be fine. You gotta play it, and once you get over that weirdness, you're like, okay, this is fine. It's all just weird anime hair, and you know, and goofy.
That's all life is, really. It's just weird anime hair.
No, the crazy thing is when you realize that the Sora, the main character that you're playing, is actually the kid from The Sixth Sense. Whenever you make that connection and you go, oh, that's Haley Joel Osment. What was his? He was
the voice actor?
Yeah, he was in a movie.
Thanks for clearing that up because I thought you were talking about the character.
He was the
Icy
Dead People
Cloud.
Kid. Yeah. Oh, well.
How do we jump from Disney to Icy Dead People?
That Haley Joel Osment, everyone. So let's talk about HD remakes because there are a lot of HD remakes that are recently either that have come out or are coming out. I chose this topic because Homeworld, which is a fantastic series that was released and produced by Sierra. Remember Sierra?
I remember Sierra.
I think they released the Oregon Trail 2 and 3. Yeah. Like the CD
Desert
based.
Storm?
Yeah.
That was the best flight sim ever.
Sierra also produced or published before Valve was big. They published Half-Life, so all things lead to Half-Life. Half-Life 3 confirmed. So,
or the fact that companies work in ways. One of the two.
They do work in ways. I'm not sure.
I'm not a business guy. I know they do business.
There are flowcharts and Excel programs. Homeworld. Homeworld is a fantastic RTS in space with three dimensions. You can go forward and backward, back, up and down, and it's like a Wonkavator in space. But the cool thing was,
did you say a Wonkavator in space?
Wonkavator in space, nice. Or a TARDIS? I can say whatever I want. I have a show.
Wow, I don't think so. I think the FCC has regulations on what we can actually say.
And how?
They're not going to let me say this.
So, the bad thing about Homeworld, the good thing was everything. The bad thing was that it was released in like 2004, 2005. And
release dates will kill you.
Those games don't scale well for modern PCs. Thankfully, there are some sites that's their business, like Good Old Games. Right. They intentionally...
Good Old Games, by the way, don't sponsor us, but go there. They are one of the best places to get these old games.
If Good Old Games wants to sponsor us,
if Good Old Games wants to kick his nickel.
Yeah. Unfortunately, Homeworld, I don't think, is available on Good Old Games. And that's sort of a crutch.
There's tons of Good Old Games.
Oh, yeah, like Free Space and really, really awesome games. This is actually one of the games we're going to talk about in our HD Remake section. But Homeworld recently was announced, or it wasn't recently announced, but it was released that the HD Remake remastered edition of Homeworld 1 and 2 is coming to Steam, is 15% off, and is available next month.
Wait, it's coming out at 15% off?
No, it's 15% off right now for pre.
Okay. When you said that, you can't just release at a less price. That's not a discount.
Why not?
That's the price.
Hey, we said it was going to be $15.
Ha ha, we lied to you. Yeah. It's going to be 10.
Oh, you got me again. I'm so angry about you lying, but you did save me money.
I'll take that money.
Homeworld is coming out on Steam with Steam multiplayer, with updated graphics, with all this stuff, and mod support. In February 25th, I believe. In February the 25th. And
at some point in the day of the February 25th is...
It'll probably be midnight. Or midnight the day before. So it's such a good game. And now it's coming out. And now it's going to be able... I can play it, maybe.
We can play multiplayer together.
Unless I have another hardware problem. I'm going to be upset.
You probably would. Just get a new computer.
I would. So this is interesting. We've got a lot of really, and I'm sure it's continuous. There's remakes of the first Mario game, that Mario for Super Nintendo on All Stars, and it was better, and it was easier, and it was nicer on the eyes. So I mean, it's not a new concept of re-releasing a game with better textures and better graphics and everything. Obviously, we're talking about Half-Life 2 cinematic mod. I mean, Half-Life 1 has Black Mesa,
Which was a complete mod by someone. I don't remember the guys that did that.
It doesn't really matter. Black Mesa. It's official. Like, I think you download it through.
I think Valve didn't acquire it.
Yeah.
I could be lying to everyone on the
maybe
internet.
It doesn't matter. It's a full HD remake of Half-Life 1. And it's great.
And that is a remake, actually, because it doesn't follow the overarching story is the same, but there are a lot of differences as you play through it.
Yeah, but that's because, I mean, changes sort of have to be made. You can't tell me if you took Duke Nukem 3D, Atomic Edition, and you just updated it from the basic engine to, say, the Dunai engine or the Cry engine or whatever, and you changed and you updated everything, some of the gameplay mechanics don't transfer very well. You can't update them.
Well, that being said, with the Black Mesa project, they didn't just apply new textures and everything to this. They actually rewrote the game from the ground
up. Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's why it took that team forever and a day to do it.
Yeah.
Is they actually wrote all the new code and everything, because I don't think they had access to any of it.
Well, and
then they made their own models and everything.
I guess, from programming standpoint, good code is timeless. But at the same time, it may be just easier to start from scratch. And a lot of these games we're going to talk about, and we're not going to spend a lot of time, because, again, we're open. Well, that's true. It's not free code. So let's just go through the list and talk about some of the greats. Doom 3. This was originally released in, I think, 2005, and at some point it was released as a BFG edition. If you don't know what BFG is,
then you need to play Doom 3.
Play Doom 3.
Or Doom 1.
Any of the Dooms. Or just internet, Urban Dictionary. Prince of Persia.
Did we just recommend Urban Dictionary on this
Unfortunately,
show?
Unfortunately, I think, I just did. Two things the FCC has problems with. Prince of Persia, HD. Not the newest one. I'm talking about
the original Prince of Persia.
And then the trilogies.
Yeah, right.
And then the trilogies that they took the trilogy and they remade it in HD, and that was nice.
And actually, just on Prince of Persia, one thing I love about that game is the guy that developed it, to get the jump animation, he has a little brother jump around into the backyard, and he filmed him doing
this. That's a perfect way to waste your little brother's time and then make money off of it.
Yeah, it's pretty genius, honestly.
I wish.
If I had a little brother, I'd make him jump around the backyard and make money off of him somehow. Out there. I got the rest of the plan.
Secrets of Monkey Island. This was one I played the original. I have not played the HD remake.
Wow, I forgot about Secrets of Monkey Island.
Yeah, this was recommended by someone online. Secrets of Monkey Island. You look at the screenshots and you're like, wow, I really, really like that. It's almost like Carmen Sandiego. You play the original Carmen Sandiego's a point and click adventure game sort of thing. Yeah. And if you could, maybe you wouldn't play it so much for obviously for story. There's not much story to Carmen Sandiego.
Where in the world is she?
Where in the USA or where in time? I know. Where in Europe? Did they have a Europe?
I don't know. Maybe they did.
That offshoot where in Australia is Carmen Sandiego?
MG's possible facts.
Australian's history is not that. It's not very dense.
Wow, you're dense.
Sorry. Tomb Raider Anniversary.
Mate.
This was. Oh man. I'm done.
Focus.
Red Bird one. Tomb Raider Anniversary. It was a HD remake on PlayStation 2.
How many times
2.
Do you own Tomb Raider Anniversary?
I only own it once, but I used to own every Tomb Raider on PlayStation 1, PlayStation 2, PlayStation 3. I owned The Angel of Darkness on PC, but the physical media for it, and I owned the Tomb Raider 1 Lara Croft bust memory card for PlayStation 1.
Love
the
you.
Only games I didn't physically own were the Game Boy games, and that's because I never actually owned a Game Boy when I was growing up.
Oh, I man, got that's what's wrong with you. I've been trying to figure out why you got a 3DS and then took it back the next day.
I just never had the love. I never had the love. I'm sorry.
You weren't indoctrinated at birth.
No.
I get it.
Again, that's another special type of
although I would like that team that did that Half-Life 2 mod redo Tomb Raider there because I want a sexy meter on Lara Croft.
I mean, Tomb Raider.
There needs to be more.
I don't.
What?
Or less.
I've been on the internet too long. We need more.
So there are mods and out there.
Less is more.
There are mods out there. One that I'm currently.
I like how you're just, there's mods.
There are mods.
Do a Google search.
Currently,
there's mods.
Currently, I'm having this love-hate relationship with Elite Dangerous, but Elite came out in 1984, and it was, admittedly, if you watch it now, you're like, people played this game, but it was really awesome back in 1984.
Hey, we used to play MUDs, so deal with yourself.
Well, fair enough. Elite Dangerous, fantastically awesome game. This is one, the next one, GoldenEye 007 Reloaded.
Terrible.
This is something that we feel very strongly about. You know, GoldenEye 007.
I'm hitting the table.
Came out on N64. Four-player co-op, split screen with memory card expansion, rumble packs, you know, the heyday of the N64.
By the way, install the extra RAM in the N64 if you're going to play with four people, or else it actually slows
down.
Or
you want to see farther than a hand in front of you. Also for Perfect Dark. But, you know, so Rare had an excellent run with GoldenEye and Perfect Dark for the N64.
Right.
Let's fast forward. Rare remakes it for the Xbox 360, Perfect Dark at least, and falls flat. It was terrible. And then that was a continuation. But then GoldenEye 007 Reloaded with Daniel Craig as Bond instead of Pierce Brosnan's model for some reason.
Yeah.
It just, for the Wii, I think it was
actually,
for the Wii.
Actually, you know, I didn't even notice that. You're right, though. They did replace
Yeah, they updated
Bond
it all. And I'm thinking,
which makes
like,
no sense for GoldenEye, by the
I'm
way.
I'm thinking,
it's
like,
Gold, Bond
GoldenEye,
fan, so.
GoldenEye had a different Bond than, you know, Quantum of Solace or Skyfall or Casino Royale.
Well, it's
so,
a different story. It's a different timeline.
It's a different time. It's a different time.
It's a different age.
We were worried about the Cold War. Anyway.
I'm just thinking of Archer. I would play GoldenEye Remixed Archer Edition. That needs to
be a thing. Yes, that's a thing. Okay, fine.
No, it needs to be. It's not. Make it so.
Okay. Halo Anniversary. This is sort of.
I have not played this. I would like to.
This is a toss up. I enjoy Halo as much as I think I can without getting on the line. I don't play multiplayer Halo. I play the single player story.
What, you don't hear terrible things about your mother?
I'm just bad at it. I feel like I'm really good at Half-Life's multiplayer, like Half-Life 2 Deathmatch. I'm one of those guys
like
that'll play.
You're the only one that plays it.
I know.
That's
me and the other guy in Switzerland, we duke it out. But I mean,
it's really hard to match up your schedules. And
Halo Anniversary, he's just really tired when I'm playing, so that's how
that's how you win.
Halo Anniversary is the new, we're talking about Master Chief Collection, though I guess we could. It's effectively the same thing. Halo Anniversary Collection was the Xbox 360 version that came out of the Xbox original version of Halo, and then was superseded by the Master Chief Collection. So there's actually two. There's a Master Chief Collection, which is 1 through 5.
And that's all in the same engine.
And same engine, same discs, or same package. And then that's more like an HD remix because it's everything all in one package, a collection. And then there's the Halo Anniversary Edition, which is Halo 1 with the old engine and the new engine and new graphics and the old graphics. And it was...
In case you wanted to play the old graphics.
It was the same thing. It was the same. I don't...
Yeah, again, I remembered liking Halo, and I would like to play it again with better graphics, because those have aged. I mean, it was on the Xbox.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. No, it's definitely original. Aged. So, I mean, we could talk... There are a ton of other HD remakes we could talk about, and we may elaborate a little bit maybe in a blog entry or a separate podcast.
They should remake Tetris in HD.
I'm sure they have. It's Pong. I know there's 3D Pong now. There's 3D Pong on the PlayStation 1. So we're going to cut to a song. We're going to come back, and we're going to end out the show. This is Power User by MC Frontalot. I'm MG.
And I'm Red Bear.
You've been listening to Southeastern Zone.
90.9 FM, KSLU.
That much power.
We're back on Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM, KSLU. Still experience points, but not for much longer. However, we'll be MG and
Red Bear
for very much long. Well, hopefully.
I mean, as long as I'm playing Half-Life, I'll be Red Bear.
You just heard Power User by MC Frontalot. And, unfortunately, that's like almost the last. We have two more songs before we end out the show. But I mean, like, that's it. We're done.
That's
like, we're out of time.
Words.
So before we leave.
Darn time slots.
Thank you. First off, thanks KSLU for airing us.
Yeah, we love you, KSLU.
Thanks. We're sorry. It's not really KSLU's fault. Thank you, Computer Overlords, for allowing the show to air.
What is happening?
It's going to be really funny.
Talking about last week.
It's going to be really funny if it didn't air, like if something else, if
what
there's
is
like.
The equivalent of a Hail Mary to the tech gods?
I think
Hellgates. Hellgates.
We have a Bill Gates.
Bill
song
Gates did a Reddit AMA today, third one.
Oh, so
go check that
so
out.
So he's not very original then, if he's his third one.
It's Bill Gates, son.
I mean,
go see what he had to say
what
about
else,
things.
What else has he
Do
done?
Do you know the names of his dogs? Do you know he has two dogs? No, you don't, because you weren't on his AMA.
Is it Linux and Mac?
No.
Is that the Linus and Mac?
They had an apple, but
we are out. But before we leave, thank you so much for listening to us.
Bill Gates does not own a dog named Apple. Continue talking.
Oh, he doesn't?
No.
Oh, I just thought you were telling me the truth, because I
never believe a word I say.
Oh.
Well, wrap us out.
We are going to be here next week.
Again.
Again, next Wednesday from 9 to 10. Please, if you would like to, shower us with your ears. That's a Robin Hood Men in Tights joke. Anyway, I like Mel Brooks. Nobody.
Lend me your ears.
Oh, yeah,
that's Ace Ventura.
That's
Ace Ventura.
No. It was Lend Me Your Ears, and then they all throw ears at him.
Yeah,
he goes, that's disgusting.
And then I just said, Lend Me Your Ears. Ace Ventura.
That's Robin Hood. Definitely Robin
nope,
Hood.
Nope.
We will watch the movie.
We will watch those movies. I will prove you wrong again.
Okay. The only connection between those two movies is that Ace Ventura is played by Jim Carrey. Jim Carrey acts in a movie with a guy who played in The Princess Bride, who was also the main star of Robin Hood Men in Tights. Get wrecked. Anyway, that's the separation.
I feel wrecked.
You feel wrecked with a K.
6 degrees of separation between Men in Hood and Tights and that.
Men in Hood. Men in Hood Tights. As you can tell, we're tired. We're gonna leave now.
Yeah, let y'all listen
before,
to music.
Before we leave though, we're on next week. What is the website, Bear?
Exppoints.com. Remember to double tap the P.
We also have social media at exppoints.com/social. So you can get your Twitter and your Facebook and your Google Plus and your YouTubes on. We are also on iTunes and Stitcher, so you can stream us. If not on our website that Bear just kind of laid on you, you can go and get it through your podcasting with your Stitcher and stuff, or with your iTunes if you're one of those people. We also have Patreon and PayPal if you would like to donate money so we can do dumb things for you. We're pretty much dancing monkeys over here. But for five
we
bucks.
We could literally be dancing monkeys if you give us enough money.
For $5, we're your dancing monkeys. So please do. We're going to end the night out with How to Fire a Gun by Shale Riley and the Double Eyes Backfire, as well as Villain Song by Kirby Crackle. Bear, do you have anything else to add?
No, I don't.
All right. Well, I've been MG.
Right to the music. And I've been Red Bear.
You've been listening to Southeastern Zone.
90.9 FM, KSLU. Good night.
I would like to learn how to fire a gun.